さんが、オンナモバガワテバスデバヤ、オンナモバガワテバスデバヤ、オンナモバガワテバスデバヤ、Narayana Namaskrityam Naran Chaiva Narottamam Devin Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udittayet Nasta Prayesha Badrishu Nityam Bhagavatam Sevaya Bhagavad Yudhamashtoke Bhakti Bhavati Naishtiki. Chai. So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, chapter 7, text number 48. Satriyam Niyamya Yatayo Yama Kata Hetin Jahu Svarat Iva Nipana Kanicham Indriya Satya Niyamya Yatayo Yama Kata Hetin Jahyusvarativa Nipana Kanicham Indraha Satriyaniyamya Yatayo Yamakata Hetin Jahyo svarativa nipana kanicham indriyaha Satriya niyamya yatayo yamakata hetin Jahyo svarativa nipana kanicham indriyaha Vaishnavis. Anybody else? Satriyak, artificial mental speculation or meditation. Niyamya, controlling. Yatayaha, the mystics. Yamakata hetim, the process of spiritual culture. Jahyuhu, are giving up. Swarat, fully independent. Iva, as. Nipana, well. Kanicham, trouble for digging. Indraha, the controlling demigod supplying rains. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation, in such a transcendental state, there is no need of artificial control of the mind, mental speculation, or meditation, as performed by the jnanis and yogis. One gives up such processes as the heavenly king Indra forgoes the trouble to dig a well. Purport. A poor man in want of water digs a well and undertakes the trouble of digging. Similarly, those who are poor in transcendental realization speculate on the mind or meditate by controlling the senses. But they do not know that such control of the senses and achievement of spiritual perfection are simultaneously made possible as soon as one is factually engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Supreme Person, the personality of Godhead. It is for this reason that the great liberated souls also desire to be associated in hearing and chanting the activities of the Lord. The example of Indra is very appropriate in this connection. King Indra of heaven is the controlling deities or demigod for arranging clouds and supplying rains in the universe. And as such, he does not have to take the trouble to dig a well for his personal water supply. For him, digging a well for water supply is simply ludicrous. Similarly, those who are factually engaged in the loving service of the Lord have attained the ultimate goal of life, and for them, there's no need of mental speculation to find out the true nature of God or His activities. Nor do such activities have to meditate upon the imaginary nor do such devotees have to meditate upon the imaginary or real identity of the Lord. Because they are factually engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord's pure devotee have already achieved the results of mental speculation and meditation. The real perfection of life is therefore to be engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Om Agyana Timinandasya Gyananjana Shlakaya Chakshu Uminitan Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bishtan Stapidan Yena Budare Swayan Upan Kadamahyan Tadati Swam Padanti Kam Vandeham Shri Kuro Shri Yuta Padakamanam Shri Kurung Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sakrachatam Sahagna Lakunata Vitam Tam Sajivam Satvaitam Savatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Chakapate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastude Tapta Kamchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindava Nishwari Vishabhanu Sudadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakau Patarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitana Bhavanebhyo Vaishranebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadhatra Shri Vasade Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Satriyam Niyamya Yatayo Yamakata Hetim Yahu Swara Iva Nipana Kanichang Indriya. Translation again. In such a transcendental state, there is no need of artificial control of the mind, mental speculation, or meditation, as performed by the jnanis and yogis. One gives up such processes as the hermit in India forgoes the trouble to dig a well. So, in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter six, text number 3, Srila Prabhupada is comparing the yoga to a ladder. Srila Prabhupada, he said, in this chapter 6, text number 3, in the purple, Prabhupada, he was saying that the process of linking oneself with the Supreme is called yoga. So that is the definition of yoga. Yeah. And then Prabhupada, he's explaining by saying, it may be compared to a ladder for attaining the topmost spiritual realization. So this ladder begins from the lowest material condition of the living entities and rises up to the perfect self-realization in pure spiritual life. Yeah. And then Prabhupada explaining that according to the various elevations, different parts of the ladder are known by different names. But all in all, the complete ladder is called yoga and may be divided into three parts, namely jnana yoga, dhyana yoga, and bhakti yoga. So that's why Prabhupada, he was saying in the verse today that actually in this verse, in today's verse, it is said that in such a transcendental state, there's no need of artificial control of the mind, because artificial control of the mind is actually in the lower stages of this yoga ladder. And mental speculation as well, or meditation as well, yeah. And then Prabhupada, he further explained in the purport to the to this verse of the Bhagavad Gita, he said, concerning the Eightfold Yoga system, attempts in the beginning to enter into meditation through regulative principles of life and practice of different sitting postures, which are more or less bodily exercise, are considered fruitive material activities. All such activities lead to achieving perfect mental equilibrium to control the senses. When one is accomplished in the practice of meditation, he ceases all disturbing mental activities. So this is not on top yet. Yeah, it just stopped the mental activities. And then at the last Srila Prabhupada, he was saying, a Krishna conscious person, however, is situated from the beginning on the platform of meditation, because he always thinks of Krishna, and being constantly engaged in the service of Krishna, he is considered to have ceased all material activities. So that means Krishna conscious person is actually on top of the ladder of yoga. Yeah. So, now a question may be asked, that how do we know a person is elevated in yoga? And actually, Lord Krishna, he answered this question in the Bhagavad Gita in the following verses. Krishna said that a person is said to be elevated in yoga when having renounced all material desires. He neither acts for sense gratification nor engages in fructive activities. So that is the sign of a person who is elevated in yoga. So he has to be renounced of all material desires and neither acts for sense gratification or engage in fructive activities. Yeah. And actually, in the Prabhupada, he continues, said that when a person is fully engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, he is pleased in himself. And thus, he is no longer engaged in sense gratification or in fructive activities. It reminds me another verse in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 18th chapter. It is said here, text number 4, 18th chapter, text number 54. It is said, Brahma-bhuta prasanatma na sochati na kangshati sama saveshu bhuteshu ma bhaktindabhate panam. Krishna tells Arjuna that one who is thus transcendentally situated at once realizes the supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments or desires to have anything. He is equally disposed toward every living entity. In that state, he attained pure devotional service unto me. So that's why Srila Prabhupada, he said in the purport of the verse today that because the Lord's pure devotee are factually engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, they have already achieved the result of mental speculation and meditation. Therefore, the real perfection of life is to be engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. So Prabhupada here, he said at the last paragraph of today's verse, actually. So, it is also stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's in the Canto 11, Chapter 5, Text number 3. It is said here, Ya esham pumsam saksha dima prabhagam. One second. The light is too dim. One second. Huh? It is said here, Ya esham purusham saksha atma prabhavam ishvaram nabhajanti avajananti stana brashta patan ada. The meaning of this verse is anyone who does not render service and neglects his duty unto the primeval Lord, who is the source of all living entities, will certainly fall down from his constitutional position. So that means, you know, unless you attain the top of the yoga ladder, so there will be a chance for you to fall down. Yeah, whether you are practicing meditation or mental speculation, you will fall down. So in this regard, I remember a story of Sobari Muni. Sobari Muni, he is a very advanced yogi. So in order to control the mind and the senses, he was practicing meditation underneath the water. he was so advanced, you know. He can survive by breathing the oxygen in the water. Yeah, so he was sitting underneath the water, meditate like that. You know, when we are, you know, practicing meditation, our eyes should not completely open. Because if you open your eyes, then you will be attracted by the, you know, object of the senses around you. At the same time, we shouldn't completely close our eyes also. Otherwise, you will fall asleep. Yeah. So Subhari Muni, he was sitting underneath the water with, you know, half-closed eye like that and meditate. But at one point, he opened his eye a little bit more. Yeah. And he saw two fishes. They have sexual intercourse right before him. So upon seeing that, you know, immediately, you know, the desire to endure, you know, the senses arise from his heart. So he no longer can stay underneath the water and meditate. So immediately he get up and come to the king and tell the king, I want to marry your daughter. Yeah. But, you know, the daughter of the king doesn't want to, none of them want to marry him because he has been meditating underneath the water for a long time. So his body doesn't look that good, you know. It's very horrible, you see. Yeah. And then Subhari Muni understands the minds of the daughters of the king. So with his mystic power, he changed his form into a very young, handsome man, you know. And then he married all the daughters of the king. And then, you know, from which daughter of the king, he begot lots of sons, you know. And he had to spend his life, you know, with the wife like that, you know. And at last he realized, you know, what a wasting of my time. Yeah, I could achieve, you know, the success of my life by meditate, but because of that accident, you know, I have to enter into this material conception of life again. He regretted, you know, like that, you know. Yeah. So that means, you know, although we are very advanced in the practice of mystic yoga, but unless we attain transcendental loving service to the Lord, there's every opportunity for us to fall down. Yeah. But on the contrary to Subhari Muni, we see Jua Maharaj. Yeah. So Jua Maharaj, you know, under the guidance of his spiritual master, Narada Muni, so he was engaged in the transcendental loving service to Krishna. So much so that even Lord Krishna attracted by him, so Lord Krishna personally come and see him. So that is the difference between the jnanis and the pure devotees. Yeah, jnanis, yogis, and the devotees, you know. And that's why Srila Prabhupada, he stressed here in the last paragraph of this purport by saying that because the Lord's pure devotee are factually engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, they have already achieved the results of mental speculation and meditation. Therefore, the real perfection of life is to be engaged in the transcendental loving service to the Lord. Yeah. And actually, Krishna, he confirmed in another verse of the Bhagavad Gita also. Krishna, he said, Yogina api sarvesham makatanata atmana shadavam bhajante yomam same yukta tamomata. Krishna says, and of all yogis, the one with great faith who always abides in me, thinks of me within himself, and renders transcendental loving service to me, he is the most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. That is my opinion. Yeah, Krishna personally confirmed like that, you know. So I just stop here. Are there any questions and comments? Yes, Brick Vodibo. I just wait, huh? Senior devotee first. Good. Abhay has a good question.
Thank you, Prabhu.
My friend.
So I understand that the process is different. You know, the gyanis engage in a different process than the devotees. So the gyanis engage in a different process than the devotees.
Mm.
But is the experience of the successful practitioner also different? Because in the 19th to 22nd verses in the 6th chapter, there's that, you know, verse where Krishna describes the perfectional stage of yoga. And so that, you know, it's there. I'm just wondering, does a devotee experience the same thing upon achieving success, or is it a totally different experience as well than what's described in, say, 6:19 through 22?
Mm-hmm. Can you say your question again, Prabhu?
Okay, the process is different.
Right. You
know, a jnani engages in a different process than a bhakta.
Right.
Right. But when a jnani achieves perfection, you know, the realization, is it a totally different experience than what a devotee experiences? Because in the 6th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, if you look, you have a Bhagavad Gita there?
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 6, text 19 through 20.
19 to 20. Okay.
Yeah, it's described. You know, Krishna says in this stage of perfection, which is characterized by restraining the mind from all material mental activities called training. Like that. So that's what, I guess that's what the yogis and the jnanis experience.
Yeah. 6:19 to 20, right?
Yeah, 6:19 through 22, I think it is. So
yeah.
Is that, do devotees experience that, or is that just something that's experienced by the yogis and the jnanis, or maybe just the yogis? I'm just trying to understand about the experience of the different practitioners.
Let's see, one second. Let me read the text 19, chapter 6, text 19. It is said here, as a lamp in a windy place does not waver, so the transcendentalist whose mind is controlled remains always sturdy in his meditation on the transcendental self. Text 20 to 23. In the stage of perfection called trance, samadhi, or samadhi, one's mind is completely restrained from material mental activities by practice of yoga. This perfection is characterized by one's ability to see the self by the pure mind and to relish and rejoice in the self. In that joyous state, one is situated in boundless transcendental happiness, realized through transcendental senses. Established thus, one never departs from the truth, and upon gaining this, he thinks there's no greater gain. Being situated in such a position, one is never shaken, even in the midst of great difficulty. This indeed is actual freedom from all miseries arising from material contacts.
So my question is, does a devotee experience that? If so, at what stage? At nishta, at ruchi, at bhava, at shakti, at bhava, at prema? Or what, you know, how does that verse relate to the devotee, you know, the experience of a devotee progressing in devotional service?
So by reading this, I understand that once you attain the topmost platform of yoga, once you are perfect, then you are perfect. Yeah. So even the jnanis or mental speculative yogis, after practicing with great difficulties, attain the perfection, then that perfection is also perfection, you know. It's just like the devotees, I would say, you know. Devaratrava, if you have different opinion, yeah.
From what I've understood, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, bhakti mamami jananti yavan yaschasmi tatvataha, that you can only attain Krishna through bhakti.
Mm.
So, and there's many verses in the Bhagavatam, particularly in Lord Brahma's prayers, atapi deva paramam bhujandvaya prasadale sanu eit evahi janti tatvam bhagavan manino. I forget the last line. Basically, what Lord Brahma is saying is that, you know, you can't be understood through the process of mental speculation or yoga. You can only be understood by those you choose to give your mercy to. Prasada lesana ab, like a very, very small bit of prasada, a very small little bit of mercy.
Mm.
Then Krishna can be understood. So the jnani, he can come to the platform of Brahman realization, but that's as far as he can go. Because until one begins to hear transcendental sound vibration from a sadhu who's situated in Bhagavan realization, one can't go beyond Brahman realization. Because the material senses and mind can only conceive of Brahman. One has to begin to hear transcendental sound in order to attain a higher state.
Thank you. That's a very good point. Thank you very much. Thank you. Yes, Maharaj? Yeah, we still have some time. Yeah.
First of all, I want to talk a little bit, not only from book knowledge, but from personal experience. I taught jnani, and I taught realizing the truth from the jnani position. You even attended my my school in which I taught those kind of things, but you only attended a short time. So you didn't. So here's the thing. Prabhupada says it again and again and again. The jnani experiences transcendental peace.
Peace.
The peace is the entrance into the infinite light. When you enter the infinite light, you are at peace. But there is no form, there is no experience in the sense of there being people or interaction or any types of affection. It is simply a peaceful experience. If you were to go out and just stare at the sky or stare at the bright sky, that's the extent of their transcendentalism. It is transcendental, but it's one level. Transcendence has not only peacefulness, but it has blissfulness, and it also has knowledge.
Mm.
Okay? The jnanis also have a certain amount of knowledge, but knowledge to enter into the light.
Mm.
In the light, they experience like a person just looking up at the sky.
Mm.
And it is not a permanent position, as the Bhagavatam says. If I can remember that very wonderful verse, those who think they are, how does it go? Those who think they are, I just need to know the first line. Those who think they are, those who think that they are knowledgeable are of impure intelligence. They are of impure intelligence, although they accept severe austerities and penances and rise to the spiritual position, they fall down again because they neglect to worship your lotus feet.
Mm.
So what does that mean? No devotion. And when there's no devotion, all you get is just that.
Mm.
The infinite light, it's peaceful, but it's boring. The living entity is meant to have loving relationships. Jivera swarupahoi, jivera swarupahoi krishnaya nityadas. What does that mean? The eternal the position or this, of the living entity is to be an eternal servant of Krishna, not an eternal not thinking of Krishna. Rather, he must be thinking loving, like you just said, lovingly of Krishna, surrendered in a loving way to Krishna.
Mm.
There has to be a feeling of affection there. So that's a whole different type of realization than the jnani gets.
Right, right.
In other words, Prabhupada is the perfect example. He never stops talking about Krishna.
That's
the example. And he wants us to think of Krishna continuously and never stop thinking of Krishna.
Right.
Always think of me. Become my devotee. Worship me. Offer obeisances to me. Thus you will come to me with unfailed.
I promise
you this because you are my very dear friend, Krishna says. So that's the difference.
In other words,
one falls down, the other not only stays there, but his position there becomes more intensely joyful, peaceful, and loving.
Right.
And it has form, and you never come back.
Right. In other words, the pure devotee of the Lord, they will not get what the jnanis or yogis are getting, but they are going to get much more than that, you know. they are going to get much more than that.
I would like to just conclude what I was just saying. The only reason I'm here is because that realization was quite boring.
Mm.
It was like looking at the sky or a bright sun, and then after a while, what then? We're meant for variegatedness.
Mm.
How often Prabhupada uses that term? What does variegated means? differences, but transcendentally different.
Right.
is a very important point.
Right. Thank you. Okay, wonderful, sorry. You know, comment, Maharaj. Yeah, you know.
Thank you so much for
Abhay. Abhay has a question. It's
the floor is yours.
What is the question, Abhay?
Say something nice now.
Yes, please, go ahead.
Prabhu, you were talking about enjoying, right? Okay. Like, people just get, like, you know, like, you know, they get mustangs and stuff like that. They just do that because they want to show off people. Yeah. And, you know, did you know? Yeah.
Is it a question or comment? It's a comment. Oh, okay. Can you say loudly again to everyone?
So, people just want to show off about cars and for enjoying and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, they. Mm-hmm. And you might get a ticket, you know, with Challenger. You could get a ticket, you know, when you go fast.
Mm-hmm.
They go pretty fast.
Okay.
Jai. Thank you, Abhay. Thank you for your comment.
So we will stop here. Thank you for coming for the Bhagavatam class. Gantraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaurav Bhaktavinda ki jai. Good. Abhay is a good bore. Always thinking. Yeah, good.